Sam, I need you to
Okay.
get the white tar.
My name is Kaya Raff, if there's anybody
Hi,
I haven't
Kaya.
met yet. Alrighty. So this study of science depends on measurements. When you walk into a lab, you're asking questions like how much, how far, how fast. And as our ability to measure more precisely improves with advanced technology, so does our insistence on precision in the units we use. So for example, how long is a meter? So there's this institution in France that has a humidity temperature controlled vault, and there's a block that's the size of a meter, and you hope it doesn't change too much over time. And that is compared against similar blocks in countries throughout, and that's how we define our units. There's been an effort to move away from this sort of subjective, possibly able to change over the course of hundreds of years definitions to something more exact that doesn't change. So for example, instead of a meter being the size of a block, the meter is defined as, the speed of light is, anyone?
186,000 miles per second.
Okay, good, or, right. So there's been an effort
Yeah, give or take.
to describe, thank you, to describe the size of the meter as how far light can travel in one divided by, get me that number again? And to redefine
There goes the curve.
the meter as the distance light can travel in one divided by, so I'll do it in meters, 3 × 10⁸ of a second. Okay, so in other words, the speed of light doesn't change. So if you redefine a meter based on how far light gets in that amount of time, time is described by vibrations of a cesium atom. Again, not something that's going to change. And the kilogram is currently being redefined not as this stone sitting in France, but based on quantum mechanics and Planck's constant. Okay, similarly in halacha, halacha depends on measurement, right? How high is your sukkah? How much wine do you need in your kiddush cup? And as our ability to measure more precisely improves, so does our insistence on exactitude. So while your parents ate a big piece of matzah at the Seder, your kids, to your horror, might show up at the Seder with rulers and charts to determine exactly how much matzah and maror they should eat. So just a little background in terms of halachic measurements. So for volume, we generally use things that are parallel to food sizes. A keziah is comparable to the size of a olive, zayit. A kibbetzah is the size of an egg, so those are volume measurements. In length measurements, we use body parts. So an agodel is the width of a finger. 4 agodlim are the size of a fist. Okay, a fist is called in Hebrew a tefach. And 6 fists add up to the size of an arm from the elbow to the ends of the finger, and that is called a an amma. So let's just get that down for future reference. So we have the godel, which is the finger. Okay, 4 of these make a tefach, which is a fist. And 6 of these make an amma, which is an arm. Okay, and lest you should think that this is all highly subjective, so in other words, my sukkah might have to be taller than your sukkah because my arm is longer than yours, that's certainly not the case. So the reference number one is a Mishnah in Kalem that describes how in the city of Shushan, they actually had a block, which was an amma, and they were able to compare the size of their block to that of Moshe Rabbeinu. The implication being that the size of the amma was something given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was exact, transmitted through the generations, still maintained during the time of Shushan. Unfortunately, at this point, that has been lost to us. When you define things based on body parts, it's not very exact, it's not very easy to transmit, and over time, the definition of the amma has been lost. Okay. The first attempt at a scientific definition of the amma came from reference four, the Nodevi Yehuda, who lived in 18th century Prague. So women who bake challah know that if you use a certain amount of flour, okay, we currently say about 3 to 5 pounds flour, the equivalent in volume of 43.2 egg sizes, you have to be mafresh challah. So you take off a little piece. In the olden days, it was given to the kohen, and now you just burn it. The Nodevi Yehuda also had a tradition as to what that was in length measurements. So in length measurements, it is the size of a box. Six to the seven ninths, 6 7/9 on each side. So the volume of that is 6 7/9 cubed. Okay, 6 7/9 amma cubed. So we have it in a length measurement. And it's also 43.2 inches. So he was trying, his interest was actually the beitza. He had a tradition as to what the godel was, and his aim was to figure out how big a kebeitza was. Now when he did this sort of analysis, namely you make the box and you fill it with egg volumes, he found that only part of the box was filled, just about half the box was filled. His conclusion being either his tradition on the size of the amma was too big, right, or his tradition on the size of an egg is too big, is too small. His conclusion was that our eggs are about half the size of the eggs in the time of the Tanaim, which sounds a little arbitrary. My husband likes to quote Flintstones in those times, right? You look, the eggs are much bigger. So it sounds like a little arbitrary, but that was the way he explained it. A kebeitza is meant to be twice the size of a kezayit. So in his explanation now, a kezayit becomes the size of our egg. And if you have to eat a kebeitza, you now have to eat two egg sizes. So his conclusion to deal with this inconsistency between the volume measurement and the length measurement was that our egg sizes are different than the egg sizes in the time of Tanaim. Not exceptionally scientific, but it worked.
Yeah. No, I just want to see. 6 7/9 cubed godels.
Correct.
Is supposed to equal one.
No, 43.2 kebeitzas. They're both volume measurements, right?
Right. Okay, it's 43
kibbutz.
Okay, fine.
And that is somewhere in the Mishnah, and
so
the Shofar. And he gets it from, where does the Shofar get that from?
Get the which thing?
The equivalent, the equation.
So the 43.2 eggs is in the Shofar.
Right, it comes from, I'll just take this one. It's from a mikvah. The equivalent is from a mikvah. A mikvah is 3 ammas by 1 amma by 1 amma, and that's 40 saw.
For so I'll also get a volume.
So you move the saw to the beitza, and you also, that's how you handle
it. One of the doctors I work with has chickens in his backyard, so he bought us eggs, uh-huh. And we measured them, because they were, like you could tell they were not
a difficult shape, though. In other words, you're talking about
volume.
The
volume measured, yes?
Yeah, we poured it in, kids poured, cracked each
water.
Egg.
It
was different, like each egg was different.
Uh-huh.
So how do you get like a uniform measurement from...
What was the average, out of curiosity?
But for my children.
Right, so you could assume that eggs in 10 egg times also were all exact. It was some sort of average.
Even though we have jumbo, extra large, large, medium,
but the eggs in the supermarket are pretty uniform. These were all different.
Well, they have 4 different sizes of uniform eggs.
Yeah.
But all the more reason why algorithms have an objective measure.
Correct.
I feel like this happens every year, but I remember last year, at least it was reported that there was a study done by Bar Ilan or Hebrew U or something like that, and they somehow recovered some old olives or that were hidden somewhere. They did measurements,
so
ended up that they were smaller, the older eggs were smaller than our eggs now, or the olives were smaller than, I don't know, anyways.
So there is today.
I found in the back of our fridge, actually.
So archaeological evidence is. I don't know about old olives, but we will talk about other old archaeological pieces of evidence.
Okay.
All right. So moving along, that was the Nodes of Yehuda, 18th century Prague. Source 5, the Netziv. Okay, Netzili Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, in 19th century Volozhin. He was the last Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin during the time that. The Russians were insisting that Volozhin include secular studies, and Volozhin closed down. That was the last Rosh Hashiva there. And he said, he gives us a measurement that we can actually get our hands on. He says, in a mikvah, we assume the size of a godel is 2.5 centimeters. That's right, it's the first line. Machmiran the mikvah, v'hu shayim v'chetzi, that word is first line, middle line, centimeter. And so for a mikvah, he says, where Machmir, and we assume that the size of a godel is 2.5 centimeters. Okay, so 2.5 centimeters would give us for the amma, 10 centimeters for the tefach, 60 centimeters for the amma. That gives us about how many inches? For stubborn Americans who refuse to cross over the metric system. 24. Okay. However, for everything else, second line, he says, in him, shir agodel, shnei centimeters. For everything else, second line, the length of an agodel is considered to be, the width of the finger is considered to be 2 centimeters. 2 centimeters times 4 gives us 8, times 6 gives us 48 centimeters for the ama, which is closer to a little under 19 inches. Okay, so that's been Sid's opinion. That's how he postulates that the length of the ama is just about 19 inches. Okay, and his formulation is similar, is based on the Rambam, which was source 2. He gets his agodel based on sizes of barley grains, which we assume hasn't changed. The Aruch HaShulchan did a similar analysis, but he didn't use centimeters, he used the Varskas, which is not helpful to me. I don't know if it's helpful to anybody in the room, but he did do a similar analysis, so he's on the sheet. Okay, moving ahead to 20th century poskim, from Avram Chaim Na'eh, who was a 20th century Israeli posek, tried a more scientific approach, literally walking around measuring people's arms. And in doing that, he validates the Nitziv. He comes to the conclusion that an Amah is just about under 19 inches, and that the length of an agudel is 2 centimeters. So 2 centimeters is confirmed by Rav Avraham Chaim Na'eh.
Did you say agudel?
Agudel or godel. It's
okay.
Both are done.
Okay.
Okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein, right, so the Posek Hadar of America in the last century, last generation, did a similar analysis to Rav Avraham Chaim Na'eh, but instead of measuring people's arms, he measured people's fists, and came to the conclusion that a fist was on average 3.6 inches, okay, we're in America, so inches, and that translates into 21.6, I've got the calculator, if anybody wants to check me, 21.6 inches for the Amah. So that's a little bigger than what was quoted by Rav Chaim Na'eh, and it's 21.6, and the halacha in America, we tend to follow Rav Moshe, so we tend to stick to that measurement.
Do they actually say how many fists they measured and what the standard deviation is? I mean, just to get some idea.
Oh, for sure, the standard deviation's all over it.
I'm just wondering how scientific, you know, I mean, he's trying to do it as scientifically as possible. But.
Right, and also you imagine it's in one location, right? So it's really armed to different.
That's true. He probably did everyone in Lower East Side on Essex Street.
Anybody with a shadow that week.
Right.
First big foot
step. Right. So that, you know, that's a point well taken. So the Chazon Ish has a sefer on measurements, and the Stipler here in his sefer translates it into inches and things like that. But he sticks with that 2.5 centimeter measurement. So he had said that the Nitziv said that 2.5 centimeters was the measurement used for mikvaos, but that was only specifically limited to mikvaos. In general, we go with the 2 centimeters. So, but the Chazon Ish goes with the 2.5 across the board. The Stipler, this is source 8 on the back of the sheet. So you see he says, ha'egodol dash, I'll just wait for you to find me, source 8, ha'egodol, what does that say, one inch, yeah. So 1 inch is sort of a rounding, because an inch is really, how many centimeters? 2.54. So he really means 2.5, the Chazon Ish really said 2.5. So the Chazon Ish holds across the board. Now this could be a chumrah, this could be a kula, right? So it means your sukkah has to be taller, but it also allows it to be taller, right, or allows your menorah to be higher than it was. So it's not a chumrah or a kula, it can go either way, but he holds with that bigger size of 2.5, which leads you to 24 inches, approximately. Okay, so, and there are ways of currently getting at the Amah, like Rabbi Hess was referring to. Archaeological evidence these days has kicked in, so for example, there is a tunnel in Yerushalayim called the Silouan Tunnel. It was built by Chizkiyahu, the king. It leads to the Meir HaShiloach, the Siloam Springs, and there's actually an inscription in the tunnel that's been uncovered that says that it's 12,000 Amah. So great, take a ruler. 1,200, thank you, 1,200 Amah. You take a ruler. It's not as simple as it sounds because it's a kind of a serpentine kind of tunnel. It's not a straight shot, so you know, do you measure from the outside or from the inside? That inscription gives us anywhere between 16.5 to 17.5 inches, which is a little lower than what the others were quoting. But there's similar archaeological evidence that's consistent with that.
What about like the mikvahs?
The old mikvahs?
Yeah, is that helpful at all to say how much 40 size?
Well, again, you're assuming that the mikvah was a minimum shear.
Right.
Right. So assuming that there's some very small
right.
looking mikvahs.
I think that I think whenever you have anything in Tanakh that gives a measurement, mm-hmm. and they dig it up, you find it. I think what they've found over the years is this 17 and a half is pretty consistent.
With the archaeological.
Right,
yeah.
All the archaeological stuff that they
17
found.
And a half inches to an amma.
Right,
which is a little smaller than everything else.
I'm just not Ram Chaim Nas says 9 centimeters.
Is a maximum, right. Ram Chaim Nas says that 48 centimeters, which translates into a little under 19 inches, is the maximum he quotes. In other words, the amma is no bigger.
He thinks it could have been less.
Does the amma depend on the people of the day? Or does
no,
it
so that's
on
the
what
point.
It was?
So that's why that very first source discussing the Mishnah Halam says that the amma in Shushan could be compared to the amma of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had an exact number. That's
right.
Our assumption. So we lost it, which is why we're trying to reconstruct it.
So it seems like they were smaller people because they had smaller arm, therefore it was smaller arm.
No, so again, so arm was just a way of transmitting the information, but it was an exact, you know, to the centimeter or whatever.
Then what's the value of measuring people's arms?
So since it was described in terms of an arm, if we're trying to reconstruct it, that's our method of going at it.
Right, but that's a highly variable and subjective rule, but nothing else.
Right, but...
You
right.
Got a better idea?
So we had a better idea. We thought we had a better idea. So at the Reft family Shabbos table one day, it was Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma is one of those hard parshas to get through, all those intense rashis about the sizes and the makeup of the different vessels in the Mishkan and the different, the structure of the Mishkan. So one of the things that's described is the Adanim. So... If you look at just, what source is this? Number 9. So you know that the Mishkan had beams called krushim. I'm going to have to change color. Not much better. Okay. And these krushim, these beams, were 10 amas high, 1 amma deep, and 1.5 amas across. That's 1.5. Now, these are called yados. These were little prongs sticking out of each beam. And encasing each of these prongs was something called an adan. There were two adanim for each keresh, right? One over each one. So there's a little picture there. But two adanim, each one with a hole, and the hole fit over these yados. Okay. Now, for these adanim, it turns out we have volume measurements in terms of amas. And we also have mass measurements. Okay, that last source, number 10, it says, Ma'as kikar kesef, 100 kikar of silver, and then ma'as adanim, for 100 adanim, you needed 100 kikar of kesef. A kikar is a mass measurement. Okay, so we know volume as it relates to amas. We'll discuss it in a second. We know mass, it gives us a mass in terms of kikar. Okay, we have a mass, we have a volume. We have a mass, we have a volume. That should make you think of or density. Good, good. So density is mass over volume. Now, these adanim were made of
silver.
We can look up the density of silver, you know, in Wikipedia. You can look it up anywhere. So if you have the density of silver, that equals the mass of the adan divided by the volume. The mass is given in kikar. If we can somehow translate kikar into something we can get our hands on, like grams or kilograms, right, divided by ammas, right, ammas cubed, we can get some sort of relationship between amma and something we know about. So let me just go over what I just said. We'll need a little alcohol to clean this well. Okay, so the density of silver is given as 10490 kilograms per meter cubed. Okay, that's equal to mass over volume. Okay, what's the volume of one of these adenim? Okay, so let's look at this, okay? So two across is what?
1.5 amas.
Thank you.
Well,
so one of them would be?
3/4.
Okay. And then...
I've done this class before.
I wasn't going to show up about the speed of light.
We said that the width was what?
One amma,
so that stays. And the height is 1 amma as well. The height of the yados is given as 1 amma. Hold on. I forgot that one. Okay, so each of these adanim is 3/4 by 1 by 1 amma.
One rabbi, you can handle this.
Okay. Alrighty. Now, but if you're talking about the volume, this is like a donut, right? You have to subtract the volume of the hole. How big is the hole? So according to Rashi, the hole is a half by a quarter, which is kind of nice and symmetric, because if this is 3/4, so it's kind of like a quarter, a quarter, a quarter. It's a little smudgy, but that's what it says in source 11.
What's the depth of the hole?
The depth of the hole is an amma.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so the volume of one of the adanam is the volume of the whole thing minus the volume of the hole. So the whole thing is 1 by 1 by 3/4, which gives you 3/4. And the hole is, say again?
1/8.
Yeah, a half times a quarter times 1, which is 1/8. Okay, so if my kids were here, we'd need a common denominator, right? And we get, thank you. Alrighty, great. So we've got the volume of one of these adzanim in terms of amma. Okay, so now we need to go at the mass, the numerator up there. Okay, so the mass is a kikar. What's a kikar? So it takes us a few conversions to get to a kikar. Well, we know that one kikar is 120 maneh. Okay, not so useful yet. We know that a maneh is 100 zehuvim. Okay, not yet. We know that a shekel, now maybe we're getting somewhere, one shekel is 4 zehuvim.
Yoni knows how much a shekel is.
Tell me.
13 grams?
13 grams. So 13 times 5 gives you...
It's a little low. If we assume, okay. We assume, it's 96 grams.
Okay.
Right?
Well, so, a shekel, 6 grams.
According to?
Capstone.
not far from what I have. So we have a tradition, Pidgin Haben, you know, when the firstborn is bought off of the Kohen, you know, you're supposed to give the Kohen 5 silver shekel. And our tradition is that 5 silver shekel, we don't mean Israeli shekels, you know, which changes with the dollar, 5 silver shekel relates to this mass measurement. Our tradition is that the 5 shekel, the silver shekel that we have to give the Kohen is worth about 96 grams of silver, which is not so off. 96 times 5 is not so off from what you said. So, grams, that's something we can get our hands on. 96 grams of silver for one shekel.
5 shekel.
For 5 shekel, for Pidgin Haben, right? And if you do the multiplication and you carry it through, you find out that the mass of an adan, so remember, the mass of an adan is a kikar, which we translated laboriously here, 2 grams. Grams is something we can get our hands on. The mass of an adan turns out to be 57.6 kilograms. Okay, great. So I've got my numerator. 57.6 kilograms per the volume of an adan, which was 5/8 amma cubed. Well, we're in business, right? There's only one unknown in here, and that's the relationship between the meter and the amma. So you can cross-multiply, you raise it to a power of a third, okay? And that gives you a relationship of one amma is 0.21 meters. 0.21 meters translates into how many inches? So you convert it to centimeters, it's divided by 2.54.
But isn't there a Gemara that says that there was some kind of difference between the amma in the Mishkan and then the amma later on?
Well, yeah, even in Shushan, yeah, in that very first source, in fact, it says that they had, their ammas were actually a little bigger, and then a little bigger than that of Moshe Rabbeinu.
It doesn't say that. It says the weight was up, the mana was up, using 120 instead of 100 because it was added a fifth.
That was a fifth more.
It's only in weights, not in lengths.
No, but in length it does say that in Shushan they had...
No, we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash, when we had... The weights that we're using in the Beis HaMikdash are different. The discussion of an amabar chamish tefach or an amabar shesh tefach doesn't play in here.
It doesn't play in. This amma is not the same.
This amma, we assume, is the same.
It doesn't change.
Right.
Even though, so when we say 5 versus 6 tefach, and that's a length, but this amma is...
Right, but again, the building of the Beis HaMikdash doesn't apply to it.
Okay, well, anyway, if you haven't noticed, I came up with 8.1 inches. So rate so much for the Rath Valley Shas table, that's way off. I mean, that's not near anybody. That's way lower.
Probably itching deep by us now.
than any of the numbers that were given by the post-can. So, I mean, where did we go wrong? Where did we go wrong? Any ideas?
It's probably the capstone.
But even that wouldn't give us much leeway. We still wouldn't get that much closer.
It would be further, because it would weigh less, right?
I'm going to say shekel was lighter.
Right, if shekel was lighter, so we'd be in bigger trouble if we went to capstone.
So any ideas? I mean, where we could have gone wrong?
Maybe use alloys of
cassia. Ah, so that's an option. So if we used an alloy of silver, then the density of silver would not be the constant that you can look up. Except for that, it's way off to be an alloy, right? Then it really, you know, would be very, very adulterated silver. There's a comment in Ramban later in Parshas Nusso that says that everything was pure. Silver was pure silver, the gold was pure gold. So we reject that, although we did consider it.
So you're one-third what we're...
one-third of the biggest one that we
have.
A half to a third.
If we doubled it, we'd be comfortable already.
Yeah. There's a fudge factor in there somewhere.
Any other ideas as to where we could have gone wrong? Well, if the size of the hole is off, so that's Rashi's opinion on the size of the hole, so, you know, you could venture that the size of the hole was wrong. That's one approach.
So where is Rashi?
Rashi's the one that says the size of the hole is... What's Rashi's source? I don't know if that's quoted in the oral law. His opinion based on symmetry.
He just likes it geometrically.
I think he probably places it on the model of the Shabbos, which is supposed to
be. So there's another option. Any other
option? How small would the hole have to be to get close?
Bigger.
Bigger, because you want it to weigh less.
Bigger
size
to be to get close.
Like twice?
Significantly bigger.
Any other options? Right, but I don't know if we have mass information on the question. I have to check.
We don't have weights.
Right. Mass is weight.
Right.
So
and even if we were able to find it that way, still we'd have to explain what's going on here.
So the other option is that we're off in the volume. And how are we off in the volume? What if the Adonim were not like a bagel, but like a tire? So a bagel has a hole in the middle, but then it's solid. Mm-hmm. So you have what to eat. A tire, right, has a hole in the middle, and also the inside is empty. So that's a possibility. The Adonim could have been hollow, namely, there's nothing in there. So when you determine the volume of the Adonim, it's really much smaller. Okay. So that was an option that we considered. And a few weeks later, we were lucky to have a student of JSS at our Shabbos table. JSS is the forerunner of the current Mechina. It's the program on YU now for students with limited background. And he said, that's what Rav Arya Kaplan says. We said, well, what does Rav Arya Kaplan say? Rav Arya Kaplan is an English translation of the Torah that, for the most part, is just a translation. But there are tiny little footnotes on bottom. Never realized the wealth of those footnotes until right now. Sure enough, Rav Arya Kaplan has a tiny little footnote on the bottom that says, Rashi says the holes were this big, and according to Rashi, the Adonim had to be hollow. So just gives you insight into what went into some of these footnotes. And then it turns out that... the Stipler writes, Rokhanyevsky writes in his sefer that this question was posed to the Chazon Ish about these calculations, and the Chazon Ish said, oh, well, the Adonim must have been hollow, which is, again, pretty impressive. Chazon Ish probably didn't have freshman chemistry, but when the question was posed to him, he was able to come to the same conclusion. So while we did not get to our goal of figuring out the size of the Alma, which would have been very cool, right? We could have published another. We did get a further understanding of the structure of the Mishkan. We did get a further understanding of a Rashi in Truma. And I just thought this was a nice example of how general knowledge can be used, l'hagdol Torah l'adira, to enrich and enhance our understanding of Torah. Any questions?
How long are your meals usually?
Much shorter than
this.
That's
a Denver
less than 4 hours or more than 4 hours.
If this was Denver, we would have had the paper accepted for the kitchen by the end of the meal, my dessert.
So, Lech HaLacha, the length...
We usually go, I mean, in America anyway, we usually go according to Rav Moshe, which gives us 21.6
inches.
21.6
inches for an hour.
Right, which is about 2.25. It's like smack in the middle of the Chazon Ish and the Netziv, 2.25 centimeters for an Agodah.
Okay.
The motion has to be very neat because 10 fathom, then equals exactly a yard. 3.6 times 10 is 36 inches.
Okay.